Titus 1, verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and believing is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. I dealt with this thought last Sunday evening. Could I read the verse again? Unto the pure all things are pure, and unto them that are defiled and believing is nothing pure, for even their mind and conscience is defiled. That verse says a lot. Could I use my illustration that I mentioned last Sunday to make my one point? It says there, to the ones that are pure, all things are pure. To those who are impure, nothing's pure. All things are defiled. I use the illustration of a little baby. To a person who has a pure mind, they look at that little baby and they say, I just love it. They just want to squeeze it. I just want to just pinch his cheeks off. And that's a good and pure thought. But someone with an impure mind can look at that same little baby and have impure thoughts. You understand? I don't have to exhaust that thought, do I, to get you to understand what I'm saying? So the thought is, this verse, at least one thing it's saying is, it depends on our minds, whether we're pure or impure. I used the word last week, realize. There are some things we need to realize. One of the greatest needs of our day in the church, outside the church, is people with pure minds, to where we can have a conscience that is clear, a sensitivity towards sin, to where we can recognize instantly and quickly if there's something we're doing wrong or thinking wrong, wrong motives or whatever. The need for a pure mind. Some things some people would never do. Some people would never commit adultery. Some people would never rob a bank. Some people would never murder someone. We can go further. Some people would never openly brag. And because sometimes we don't do those things, we may think we're okay, not according to this verse. Just because we do not do adultery does not mean that we don't think about it from time to time. Just because you never rob a bank or even steal from a neighbor doesn't mean that you don't have greed issues and desire other people's stuff. What matters not only is what we do, but how we think, our purity in the mind. You may never murder, but sometimes you wish somebody was dead. I chuckle in saying that, but it may be true. Hatred and anger towards someone. You may never openly brag, but there's an inward pride, and you think you're better than someone else, or smarter than others, or more worthy than others. So we need to realize it's not just what we do, but it's how we think. It's our heart and our mind that matters. Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. He said, you got the outside cleaned up. Your actions and your deeds, you've got them down pat. There's a lot of things you don't do. There's a lot of things you do do. You don't do wrong and you do do right. But he says you're still wicked inside. The thoughts and the motives and the desires of your heart are ungodly. He continued by saying, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside them may be clean also. He said, just because you don't do bad outwardly doesn't mean you aren't bad inwardly. So he said, deal with the inside, deal with the heart, deal with the mind. I hope you're listening this morning. One of the most important messages I've said again, I said last Sunday night, I've said again, one of the most important messages I've ever preached in my life. I hope you'll listen. A pure mind. Jesus said in Matthew 5:21, ye have heard that it is said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. way, and I understand that. It's wrong to kill. It's wrong to murder. Everybody knows that, but he continues the thought by saying, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother, and I'll stop reading there. He said, if you're angry with your brother, just that anger inside, the thoughts of saying, I don't like him. I wish he's dead. I wish something would happen bad. The inside matters. If you remember, Job's friends came to him and accused him of a lot of things. One of the things they finally tried to accuse him of was inward sin. And I believe one of the reasons was because they looked at his life and they didn't see a thing. He wasn't doing anything obviously wrong, so they thought he must have inward problems. He must have an impure mind. His heart must not be right. And here's what it says. Wickedness be sweet in his mouth. He hide it under his tongue. They said, since we don't see anything wrong, there's got to be something wrong inside. They realize what I'm trying to say this morning. It's not just the outside we need to be concerned with. It's the inside that matters also. It's our mind and our heart. But Job 4 and 5 tells us about Job, and he understood what I'm saying because he talks there about that he offered sacrifices for his children. And it says, it may be that my sons have sinned, listen, and cursed God in their hearts. Then it says, thus did Job continuously. Job realized, my sons, if I don't see them doing anything wrong, there may be something wrong inside. Their minds may not be pure. You see, the problem with the sins of the mind is you don't need the occasion. I say these things carefully. To commit adultery, you need another person. And you need the occasion, you need the circumstances, you need the timing, but not with adultery in your mind. You can do it any time. To commit any kind of robbing or stealing, there must be the outward circumstances that have to be right. You go into the bank, you go into the convenience store, you take the money out of the box at work. It has to have that occasion, but not with sins of the mind. It can happen anytime and anywhere, and it's just as wrong. I'm talking about a pure mind. One thing about a pure mind is memory. How we remember. Now, I might could get victory over my actions, but there's a whole lot of things in my past that I still remember. And the memory about sin and the memory about wrong seems to be so vivid, and it's just like almost doing it again. So it's important. I'm talking about a pure mind. The Bible is very clear from cover to cover about a pure mind, a pure life, yes. Pure actions, yes. Pure motives, yes. But a pure mind. Because our memory can bring things back and they seem real. And listen, it's sin when we dwell on those things. The bad thing about an impure mind is that there's no buffer other than the Holy Spirit in our conscience. My example is this. I'm saying this. You may say, I will not do it, for if I do it, my friend will find out. Or my children will find out, or my spouse will find out, or the church will find out, or my neighbor will find out. And because I'm afraid someone will find out, I don't do it. But sins of the mind we can do, and nobody will know. And that's why it's so much easier to participate in things that are sinful in our mind. We need to realize the danger of an impure mind. We need to realize the sinfulness of an impure mind. The only thing between me and an impure mind is the Holy Spirit and the conscience God has given me. And when we do bad things, and hopefully when we think bad things, the Holy Spirit will speak to us and our conscience will speak to us. But if we aren't careful, we'll just shut that off. Shun them, because we're not doing it. I am not what we would call guilty of it, but we are guilty of it if we think it in our mind. Now, I'm not talking about these fleeting thoughts that run in and run out. Those are temptations. I'm talking about things we dwell on, things we nurture in impure mind. The bad thing about an impure mind is it contaminates. It contaminates our mind. It contaminates our emotions. It contaminates our desire. It contaminates our memory. It contaminates our imagination. What a lot of people would not do outwardly, they'll do inwardly. And what they think about inside is 100 times worse than what they ever would do. You hear what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you're listening to me this morning. I'm telling you, this is a message we need. And some people, my burdens are real this morning again. Some people here, and I have no idea. It's me and it's you that's here. That's all I know. But somebody needs this message this morning. I hope we'll all listen. It contaminates with thoughts we have and dwell on. Will be more vile probably than what we would ever do. I say that again. Our thoughts are probably more vile than what we ever would do, but we're just as guilty with our thoughts as with our deeds. Just as much sin. Oh, sure, worse consequences if we do it. I said it already. You go rob a bank, it's worse as far as consequences than you thinking about it. You murdering somebody, surely the consequences are going to be worse than if you just thought about it, but thinking about it just as much sin as doing it. That's what the Bible says. So we cannot take it lightly. We cannot say I'm okay because I don't do it. The problem with sins of the mind and impure thought is the fact that it always leads us to worse. No one ever falls into sin. That's like falling in love. Good luck on that one. You don't fall into sin. Oh, we think about it. Nobody ever fell into adultery without thinking about it first. Nobody fell into hurting someone else without thinking about it first. We always ponder, we always think about it. And what happens, what's so dangerous is the fact that the more we think about it, the easier it is to do it. It always gets worse because our flesh is never satisfied. Hey, if you want to gauge what kind of person you are, don't you gauge. Listen to me, Rick. I'm talking to me too. Don't gauge what you do or how you act. Only gauge what you are inside, how your thought life is. Look at your heart, not just your actions. And one of the worst things about an impure mind, an impure thought life, is the fact that it does lead to actions. Jesus says, for out of the heart proceed. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Isn't that amazing? The first thing he mentions is evil thoughts. But it doesn't stop there. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And he continues. He said, out of the heart proceed. It means it comes out of. From a fault comes a deed. So I've come to my message finally. I mentioned last week, realize, we need to realize we're in a battle. Every one of us. If you've got a mind, and I know some of us, it's about gone, but what we got, the devil used just as much as the Lord, if we let him. We need to realize, number one, realize. Number two, here's a message, rely. I want to tell you something. I'm telling you something. If the Bible only said, don't do it, that'd be hard enough. But he doesn't only just say, don't do it. He says, don't even think it. I got news for you. I need help not to do it. I surely need help not to even think it. So realize. But number two, rely. Rely on the Lord because you need him. There's somebody, hey, you need somebody bigger than you. I'll tell you what the Bible says. Hold on for getting your feelings hurt. Listen, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Now, that's what the Lord said in Proverbs 28:26. Don't that just help your ego? The Bible said, God said, if we trust ourselves, we are a fool. And even God doesn't use that word lightly. If we rely on ourselves and we think we can do better, we are in trouble. It ain't going to work. We must depend on the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about rely. Rely on the Lord. Rely on the Holy Spirit. We need to rely on Him for discernment. Because I promise you, most of us ain't even thought about what I've been preaching on last Sunday night and this morning for a long time, unless the Lord's been dealing with you. We don't even think about the fact. We need to be aware. We need to be aware of the attack of the devil. He is so deceitful. I need the Lord. I must rely on God to even open my eyes to the battle I'm in. Or I'll do like those disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane and sleep through the whole battle. By the way, they lost. And so will we. I'm talking about an impure mind, talking about a pure mind. We need to rely on God for discernment, to be aware of the attack, to realize how deceitful the devil is, how blind I am. What we'll do is try to excuse ourselves and explain the circumstances of our life or defend ourselves or accuse somebody else. They're the ones that did this. How'd that work out for Adam and Eve? I'm talking about I must rely on the Lord. I want a pure mind, let alone a pure life, but a pure mind. I must rely on God for discernment. Open my eyes to what shape I am really in. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't even know your own mind. You don't even know your own heart. Unless the Lord opens our eyes, we'll never see it. We'll think we're okay. So I need to rely on the Lord for discernment, to be aware. We stay so busy, so preoccupied with life, troubles and trials and pleasure and recreation and family and work and stuff and this and go, that we don't even realize so many times our true condition. Jesus said in Matthew 7:3, and why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? You know the picture? Here's a fella got a brother down trying to get a little bitty speck out of his eye. And he says, hold still, brother. Let me get it. I about got it. And the whole time, he's got a whole big beam sticking out of his eye, just beating the tar out of that brother he's trying to help. Here's my point, one of Jesus' point. The one with the beam doesn't even realize it's there. We need to rely on the Lord for discernment to show me my true condition. We need to rely on the Lord for discernment. I'll not see it unless He shows me. We need to rely on the Lord for desire. I'll not want to do better unless He helps me. Hey, we're flesh. Our flesh is flesh in doing. Our flesh is flesh in thinking. I promise you. The Lord's probably troubled you about thinking better, and already the devil said, my, you don't want to change. You don't want to, I don't even want to apply this to your life. That's how the flesh is. Even for the desire to do right, it must be something that comes from God. The desire for victory must come from God, because the flesh doesn't want victory. The flesh wants flesh. The flesh wants to keep on thinking and keep on doing like it wants to. The flesh doesn't want to please God. Flesh wants more of me, more of what I want. So I need to rely on the Lord. Give me the desire. Not only do right, but think right. To think right, to have a pure mind. Jesus said the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen, Jesus. You're right. Psalm 19, verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The psalmist said, oh, God, help what I say and what I think be something that will please you. Where'd that desire come from? It came from God. Oh, hope you're listening this morning. Need to rely on the Lord for discernment. To know there's a battle. To know my true condition. To recognize my desperate need for help. I need to rely on the Lord for desire, to stir in me a desire more than what I want, more than what I desire, more than what I want to think about, that I might desire what He wants. The psalmist said something like this: when my heart's desire is to please God more than myself, then I can enjoy victory. When my heart's desire is to please God more than myself, then I can have victory, but not before. When I want it, when I want victory more than pleasure, victory more than sin, that's when I can count on the Lord and give me some victory. We need to rely on the Lord for discernment and rely on the Lord for desire. We need to rely on the Lord for defense, because I can't win. I can't. I'm a loser. And so are you and yourself. Our only hope is somebody bigger than us come to help us in this battle. I need someone to stand in my defense. I need a bigger brother to call on to handle the bully that's come my way. We need the Lord. We need to rely on Him for defense, to give me the power to refuse, to say no, not just to my deeds, but to my thoughts. Paul said in Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know the story of a soldier in that day. They wore tunics or robes, long flowing things, and most of their battles was hand to hand. A long flowing robe flopping all around, my goodness, it would get in your way, it would trip you up, it would hinder you from running toward, it would hinder you from moving, it would hinder you from fighting, it would be a hindrance. So they had these belts that they would put around, and they would tighten that up, and they'd hold all that flowing robe inside. And that way they could be more likely to be victorious than be defeated. And the Lord said, if you just let your mind flow around like that robe, you're going to be in trouble. He said, gird yourself with truth. Let the truth hold your thoughts together. Let the truth control those flowing, out of control thoughts. There's a battle. And I need the Lord for my defense. I need to rely on Him to take care of it. 1 Peter 1:13 says, gird up the loins of your mind. The same girdle, the same belt that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, Peter talks about in 1 Peter 1, and he says, gird up the loins of your mind. Don't let those thoughts run around. Don't let them control you. Don't let them have access. Don't let them have control. Don't let them just run everywhere. Gird them. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The story here is a picture of a battle where the enemy is shooting not only arrows, but arrows that are on fire. Well, not only are you injured from the arrow piercing you, but the fire burns you if it hits you. And the Lord said, you've got a shield. They had these like 2.5 foot by 4 to 4.5 foot shields. They could literally get in behind that thing and hide and cover their entire body to where when those arrows came, a burning and the fire and the sharpness and the danger, they just held that shield up, and instead of hitting the soldier, it hit the shield. And the Lord said, the shield you need to defend yourself against the battles coming in your mind is the shield of faith. Believe, trust God. That's what I'm talking about. Rely on the Lord. And what he said in this book is true. I'll say it again. The battle that we're facing is not just out there in life, but it's in your mind. What we're thinking. And the battle is won or lost in the mind. He said to someone who has an impure mind, there's nothing pure. They can take everything and twist it around to something perverted. Take a simple, pleasant, clean statement, twist it around to something perverted. But to someone who has a pure mind, those words are pure, good, and pleasing. I'm interested in what we do. So's the Lord. But I am interested in what we think. Here it is. So's the Lord. Most of y'all, including me, we perform fairly well. And I don't mean that in a bad way. We do fairly well. Our outward appearance, most of us ain't too bad. Not perfect by any means, but not too bad. But I wonder why the Lord's put this message on my heart. Because I don't see your mind, and you don't see mine. But God does. And he says what goes on in your mind is just as important as what goes on in your life. And if it's something wrong going on in your mind, it's just as much sin as if it's going on in your life and your actions. I'll ask you this morning, do you know you're saved? You'll never have a pure mind if you don't have a pure heart. If God hadn't saved you by saving you, if he hadn't changed you by saving you, you ain't no way in the world you're going to think right. So I ask you first, you know for sure you're saved. But I ask you, secondly, if you do know you're saved, it must be that the Lord's wanting us to be clean, outside and in. Because you know what? I ain't done with the message, but I'm done for now. What's the Lord said to you? I hope he said something. He means it. He's trying to help us. He's trying to help us. What can God do with a church that had pure people in life and in mind, thoughts, motives? No telling. Wonder what it's costing us because our minds aren't what they ought to be. Let's stand together.